Amen, amen.
Seems I've imagined him all of my life, and the wisest of all a man and men. But if God's only wisdom is foolish to men, he must have seen that I'm in mine. Here his family said he was mad, and the priest said demons to blame. But God in the form of this every young man, we had our foolishness, but we were wise. He played the fool and we opened our eyes. We in our weakness believed we were strong. He became helpless to show we were wrong. Every father that's a fool, only the foolish can tell.
Thank you, Lord God, for great is your glory indeed, Lord. You're so worthy of our praise, worthy of us worshiping you, Lord. Thinking about you, and as we think about you, Lord God, giving you glory, lifting up your name, talking about how good you are, how great you are, how wonderful you are, Lord God. You have done wonderful things, Lord. They are marvelous in our eyes. We thank you, dear Father, that you gave Christ, your one and only Son, to save us, O Lord, from our sins. You're wonderful, O God. Lord, you don't treat us as our sins deserve because of him. You're wonderful, O Lord, our God. Lord, you are preparing a place for us, Lord Jesus. You're wonderful, Lord, and we thank you for being wonderful to us. We thank you that you have enabled us to be in our right minds, to think of you, that we can praise you, Lord, that we can come together in this place and worship you with the fruit of our lips, O God, and from our hearts, and with all the faculties, the resources that you've given us, just praise your holy name. Lord, we thank you, O God. We're grateful to you. Lord, we're excited about you because you have loved us. You continue to love us. And you promise never to leave us, never to forsake us. We're thankful for where you brought us from. We're grateful for where you're taking us to. We're thankful, Lord, that you don't leave us where we are in terms of those things that are not pleasing to you, Lord, those things that are detrimental to our lives and to the lives of others. Help us, dear Father, to be submissive to you, to trust you. Forgive us when we don't, Lord, when we're wrestling doubting you and questioning what you said. Help us, Lord, to settle in our minds and hearts that you are the Father who loves us. And all that you do and all that you allow. So guide our time this morning, Lord, in your word. Help us to hear from you. Lord, you know we have nothing to say apart from your word. So may it be truth that goes forth. Lord God, may it be truth that we hear. Truth that we submit to, Lord, to the power of the Spirit in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise our great God. We want blessings flow. Glad to be here this morning. This morning, before we get started with the message, I've asked a couple of people who attended the Dialogue Tour on last week to come and share their testimony. They have been given a time limit. But they are going to come. We thank God for giving us the opportunity to be there last week. We thank God did something in the lives of people, and he did something in our lives too. He will help us to hear him, see him, worship him together with other believers. We were out in the open out there in Joliet. There were hundreds of people gathered there together. And I just want us to share just a little bit, a couple of minutes. Sister Lowndes and Brother Sunil, they're going to come. And they're going to share their experience there. God used many people to see others. Others made the decision. Franklin Graham gave an invitation, and people stood up and they made some type of decision for the Lord. And then those who served as counselors would go up and ask them about that decision and help them to think through and pray through the decision that they made. So we have in our group of six that went, I think we had five or six people that they were able to connect with and help to continue on in that decision and pray about the decision that they had made. So, Sister Lila, would you come? Where is CBO? Back out on you. He's coming. Okay. Sister Lila is going to come up first this year.
Good morning, everybody. It was an experience that I'll never forget. It all started back in August. The pastor sent an email, and those that wanted to participate did. We went to a training, and after that, we kind of had homework, prayers every day, scriptures to memorize that Peter made sure we knew. And we would practice when we would come here as we walked in choirs through the decision. I'm so glad that I decided to participate. It was a wonderful time. It was the Franklin Graham Route 66 Love Tour. And as we started that tour, we got started on the road and we had detours along the way. Pastor and Desi were our navigators and we tried to get there. We started down here having lunch together. We tried to get there. We got to a dead end, literally a dead end, a roadblock. Had to turn around, go in another direction, turn around, and all the way in another direction. Got to another roadblock, had to stop, turn around, go another direction. We finally made it, went through our COVID screening, and we had already had a background check, and we all got through that, so we're no criminals. We had our little briefing, and we just had a wonderful time praising the Lord in concert with other believers as well as others that were there to make a decision. And after Franklin gave the invitation, those that wanted to make a decision wanted to stand up. And we as counselors had on masks. And we were to go, I would go with two different people before I finally found a third person that wanted to make a decision. And just praise the Lord, I've been conversing with that person every day, except for yesterday. And so I got so scared. I'm like, oh no, she didn't deserve me, did she? But we have been communicating with each other every day. Pastor would say in the car, everybody got somebody but me. But, well, there was a band there called, The Newsboys. We sing that song, We Believe. And they were there. So we were in line to take pictures, and Pastor was going to turn out decision cards. And then here comes Pastor with this good old lady. And this lady had got lost getting there. So the thing was over. Here she was. And she saw Pastor, didn't know he was the pastor. He never told her he was the pastor. And he just latched on to him. And he says, hey, everybody, this is Mary Ann. And Mary Ann is from Batavia. Mary Ann is lost. And so, the ministry started for us right there as an opportunity for us to show the agape love. And this lady was all the way from Batavia, so we volunteered Desi to drive her home. So Desi followed us, and I said, Pastor, that was your assignment God gave you. He didn't give you a person like he gave us to make a decision, because she was already a believer. But Desi followed Pastor, and we drove this way all the way to Batavia. And I promise you, we had no business in Batavia. And it took us a long time. But Priya led us in every praise in the car. We sang every praise. We sang songs. We worshiped. We just had a wonderful time in the Lord. And it was starting out Route 66, and it ended up on Route 88 and finished on 57. We didn't get home till really late. But we saw God move. We saw people make decisions to accept Christ. And we had a time to minister with one another in the car, singing. And it was just a blessed time. And we are still in prayer for a tour. We have a little book where we pray every day. We know what days they're in what cities. And I keep my book on the table so I can pray every morning as they hit that city. And it was just a wonderful time. And we are in contact with our people. And we're just glad. And I had an opportunity to sponsor a little girl by the name of Desjira. She's 10 years old from Senegal. And we just had an opportunity to see God move.
Thank you. You're in the right book. Amen. Amen. See, Sunil is our resident evangelist from India.
I don't know where I can start. Thank you, Lord, for giving me this opportunity to share my testimony to you all and whoever is looking at on YouTube. First of all, thank God for choosing Pastor Banks. Why I'm saying Pastor Banks, the reason is August 11th, I got an email as a church. We all got received an email saying Christian witness, life witness in training. So Pastor just mentioned, please pray. If you want, come. If you don't want, don't come. So at that point of time, I don't know what exactly it is. It could be good, bad, or whether I will go or whether I will not go, I don't know. Because that's God's word. So God, if God wishes, He will choose me. Sunil, go and attend and learn something about me, about my word, or how you have to be in your life, or what things you need to change, or what are the sins you have done in your life. If I did something wrong, saying, like, you have a few commandments in your Bible, as you all know. So leave something for me and change yourself. So I just register myself and Priya, and that's a major task for me. How can I convince Priya? Because I'm a married person, you know. I cannot leave her, or I cannot tell her lies or say something and go and attend. I didn't think like that. I just prayed God, and before I start, Pastor asked us to pray, and Pastor prayed, I prayed, as a church, we all prayed, thank you for that. And finally, I'm able to convince Priya, and we are able to part of the church. So as Sister Phyllis told, that was a journey of us. But mainly what I just want to share is regarding the patience. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the patience, you know, because the detours and going through different... I know the journey may not be good or bad, but as the name says, God loves tour. I don't know, God loved myself for us, but we all love God. Thank you so much for that. Because the name says, God loves tour. I don't know whether God loved me till today, but I just want to thank God for, you know, giving me the opportunity. Because I just want to remember this journey or this tour with the church as six people in my lifetime, if I'm here or India or anywhere, because that something remembers for me. Because what my perception was different, going to church, listening to God's word, going home, I was thinking like that. But this tour, or you know, attending, going with the church, made me to learn so many things. Like as a church, they supported me, and morally, but in the form of things or food or, you know, whatever it may be. Because I just attended myself, I did not think much, but thank God for that, and thank you. And thank God for choosing pastor mainly, because we come across many people in the Bible, David, Moses, or Hezekiah, or Solomon, or many people, because they have done something for God. So I pray that, you know, God choose pastor, and, you know, we just make use, or we just grab something from him, and, you know, let him become a prophet for the Lord, you know. That's what I say. And music, when I come back to music, and when I came to US, you know, my thinking was different. I was thinking in a sinner point of view, taking prayer to different musics, like, I know there are pubs or so many things going on in US, different places. I was thinking in that way, that I should take prayer to a pub so that she would enjoy, she would be happy, listening to all nonsense songs or, you know, my language or different languages. So I thought that way, because we are a nation like India, we have some different people playing different music for us. So I thought in that way. But when I took prayer to this God knows, Lord. She was so happy then, the happiness which I would give her. That's God songs or new boy songs. I don't know anything. We all don't know anything. We are looking at the name. Who is this new boy? But she felt so happy. She felt so happy that I like this music. I like the song, you know. And then I decided myself, oh, I thought something wrong. Because I thought that I would take Priya to a different music center or somewhere. But she is happy to listen to the songs, godly songs, you know. That got me to change. So I decided myself that, you know, God songs or Christian songs are so important for us. So, and thank you, God, for giving us patience and, you know, waiting on God. And one more thing I will share and leave. And regarding this testimony, when we are returning back on September 19th, I thought internally that I should say testimony. But I don't know that God let me tell the testimony now. You know, that's a God's word. That's not something someone decided me that, okay, Sunil, you do this. It's not a human way. I'm standing here, that's a godly way. So I believe that God is working on me and on my behind and our church. Thank God for that.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. It's about what God does in other people's lives, and about sharing our faith, sharing the love of God. But it's also what He does in our life. And I wanted to share because the Lord wants us to be a church that reaches out beyond ourselves, to be a church that makes disciples who makes disciples. That's where He wants us to be. Coming here on Sunday is great. It's part of the kingdom of God, coming together to worship the Lord, being involved in Bible study and Sunday school and women's ministry and men's ministry and children's ministry. Those things are great, and it's part of helping to build the kingdom of God, but God has called us to make disciples. Jesus said that make disciples. Paul told Timothy to share those truths with faithful men who will be able to teach others. And that's what the Lord feels for a fact. That's what the Lord is impressing, you know, upon my mind, is to share it with people who will be able to share it with other people. And that's the way the kingdom of God is built. So we do things that kind of kick us out our comfort zone. God is always doing that. You may not listen. You may say, no, I don't, you know, I don't want to be a part of that. But God might quit trying to get you to move to the next level. That's the way God is. He does not want us to stay where we are. He loves us that much that He wants to grow us up. He's always going to give us opportunities to take those steps of faith. Whether we listen or not, that's our choice. We determine whether we trust Father and whether we do what He is putting on our plate to do, or whether we shrink back, stay comfortable, and don't move out. I can tell you, it's a step of faith. Faith for me. Just as well as you, I don't get up here every Sunday, you know, all bold and confident and whatnot. No, it's a step of faith every Sunday, a step of faith going to an event like that and being amongst all of those people. And it was people from all nations, you know, they were great. Where Sister Bank, I'll say this and I'll move on with the message, part of the message, it looks like that. Sister Banks and I were sitting in front of us. There were these two older ladies. Mary Ann, that Sister Miles talked about, she was an older lady. She was in her 70s. And she came out there and she said, look, I was determined to get here. I tried to get people to come with me, but nobody would come. And I told God, if nobody else goes, I'm going by myself. She drove from Batavia all the way to Joliet by herself. And that impressed me, you know, that her age, she was, you know, determined to do something for God. And she got lost, and somebody helped her to get there, and then the Lord gave us the assignment to make her get back home. So God is always working. He's always pulling and pushing and encouraging His children, you know, to get involved and seeing people from all over the place. And the ladies sitting in front of us, they would look like they were in their 70s. They were up praising, jumping, shouting. I said, Lord, I said, look at this. It's just a blessing. So we want us to be encouraged. You know, I don't want to miss it. And I don't want us to miss what God is doing at this time in the history of what he is, what is historic. It's the story that he's writing, even amongst all that's going on in the world. God is still calling people to himself. He is still calling people out of the world and sending us back into the world to share the love of God, to share the love of Christ. And so that, I know, you know, is just getting our minds in tune and our hearts right with him and trusting him along the way. So you all pray that, and I'm praying, I'm letting you know now, I'm praying that the Lord will move us out of our comfort zone, whatever that looks like for us in the church, and whatever it looks like for you as an individual. I know God does not want you to be comfortable in that regard, as far as not sharing the love of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ, and seeking to make at least see one person in your lifetime come to Christ through your witness. Wouldn't you love that? That would be great. That would be great. I'll say this, and I'm moving on from real this time. I read something that really struck me over the last couple of weeks. It was from the Billy Graham Association. I don't know. You know, you read these studies and whatnot, but it said that more than 95% of Christians will never, and I still find it to be incredibly thinking about this. I said, it's gotta be more than that. It said that over 95% of Christians will never lead someone to Christ in their lifetime. And that is still in my mind. It's still in my mind. And I question the accuracy of things often, but even if half of that is true, you know, 50% of us Christians never share our faith, talk to somebody, and see the Lord use us to lead somebody to Christ. You know, I don't want that to be the case. You know, because I would like to see everyone have that experience to lead somebody to Christ. And then discipling somebody. Who disciples somebody else. That's what we want to hear the Lord come in. Well done, you did a faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. And may be faithful over the opportunities that the Lord has given us to share the love of Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, we need to move on. We'll see how far we can get down the line today before I cut myself off. And we'll pick up next week, first Sunday of the Lord willing, and creep no prize. We're in Hebrews. We're still in Hebrews. I wanted us to press on. I believe the Lord wants us to press on. Sometimes we'll take some verses. I like preaching through books, chapters. Context is critical. Context is important. You get the full gist of, you know, what the author is communicating. You know, when you read sections of the Bible. And so I was compelled, I believe, by the Lord to continue on with verses 4 and following down to verse 11 or so, maybe further than that. Because he's still giving a word of encouragement to his readers. He's still giving a word of encouragement to those that he was thinking about and writing to, who needed that encouragement to keep walking by faith, to keep fixing their eyes on Jesus Christ. And that's the title that he's giving, coming straight from the text: Fix Your Eyes on Jesus. Fix Your Eyes on Jesus. Oswald Thomas said, faith for my deliverance is not faith in God. Doesn't that strike you? Faith for my deliverance is not faith in God. Faith means whether I am visibly delivered or not, I will stick to my belief that God is love. There are some things only learned in a fiery furnace. If you're in a fiery furnace and you believe that God, the only way God can show his love for you is for your deliverance, he's saying, then that's not the type of faith that we're talking about here. It's faith in the fire. Whether God delivers me or not, God is love. God cares about me. God is with me. And I am going to trust him regardless of whether he delivers me or not. What we want to do, our objective in this section of Scripture, is we want to accept God the Father's way of dealing with us as we live by faith in Jesus. We want to be able to accept the Father's way of dealing with us as we live by faith in Jesus. He doesn't deal with us in the way that we want him to. He deals with us in a way that is best for us and will accomplish his points of view. There are several reasons given here in this section of chapter 12 that the Bible gives us as to why we must, why we should, and why we can continue persevering and living by faith in Jesus Christ. First of all, he says that the way that I put it is that we must continue to run, and we can continue to run the race of life by faith in Jesus because we have not yet reached the pinnacle of faith. We have not yet reached the pinnacle of faith. The text says in verse 4 and 5, I didn't read that there, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. I'm going to stop there. We'll read more next week. In verse 4, he says, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. The shedding of blood is the giving up of life. The shedding of blood is the giving up of life. It's sacrificing. And up to this point in your struggles, the writer of Hebrews is saying to his hearers, up to this point in your struggles, the pressures you have been under, the pressures have not been so great that you shed your blood for the sake of Christ. And we have to keep that in mind. When we're living by faith, we're thinking about for the sake of Christ, because of my relationship with Christ, because he has saved me. The struggles have not been so severe that you've had to choose life or death because of your faith in Christ. The point of the verses is this, that while the believers had or were experiencing difficult times since they'd chosen to live by faith in Christ, it was difficult. Wasn't easy for them. They had not, even though this was true, they had not experienced difficulties that led to death. And they had not struggled to the point of having to die because of their faith in Jesus Christ. The example of some of those listed in chapter 11 informs us that some of them had resisted the temptation to deny Christ, and this choice did mean, in fact, the shedding of blood for them giving up their lives. In chapter 11 of Hebrews, verses 35 through 37, it says, some experienced scourging, chains, and imprisonments, stoned and sawn in two, and put to death with the sword. Some of them had gone through that. And whether we recognize it or not, there are people living today who have had to give up their lives. They've had to make that choice. And making that choice not to deny Christ has caused them their physical death. But here, the readers weren't there. They weren't in a position where they were physically scourged and put to death because of their relationship with Jesus Christ. And the writer says, you aren't there yet. And since this is the case, since you have not reached that pinnacle of faith, you must and you can continue to persevere in your faith in Christ. See, the pinnacle is the highest point of development in whatever. Jesus Christ himself demonstrated this attitude of laying down his life, sacrificing himself, of reaching for the pinnacle of faith, getting to the highest level of faith in his relationship with the Father. We see it in our Lord himself. Faced with the inevitability of the suffering that he had to endure on the cross, Jesus prayed in the garden in Matthew 26, verse 39, and you'll remember, and it says there, he went a little beyond them, beyond the disciples that were there with him. He went a little beyond them, and he fell on his face, and he prayed. And he said, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." He said, "Father, I can see what's coming. It's heavy on me." He said, "Look, let this cup pass from me." But he said this, which is important for what we're talking about. "Yet, not as I will, but as you will." Not what I want, Father, but what you want. Jesus struggled. He had to struggle with the carrying of the weight of the sin to the cross and being punished by the Father in our place. He struggled with them being punished by his Father. Yet, he chose to submit to the Father's will. "Father, yet, not my will, but your will be done." Not what I want, Father, but what you want. What you know is necessary for me to go through for the salvation of the world. "Father, I'm willing to go to that highest level of faith in you." He chose to go to the cross by faith with his eyes and heart on the Father. Remember verses 1 through 3 where it says Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame. How did he handle that? How did he endure that? Because he saw the Father. He saw himself seated with the Father, in glory with the Father. So he was willing to go. The other thing the writer says here that we wanted to point out is this. He said, "You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin." In your striving against sin. The Bible is informing us here that what they were striving against with, and what we strive with in this world, in our race of faith, is sin. We miss the mark. And here I'll just say generally, we're missing the mark. Missing the mark of what? Missing the mark of the lives that God wants us to live. The attitudes that he wants us to have. The way that he wants us to relate to him and to one another. The word "strive" here is from the same root word that we saw back in what verse is that? In verse 1, where it says, "Let us run with endurance the race." The race. Remember, the race was an agon. It was a struggle. It was a battle. It was a fight. It includes struggle. And here, the striving is the fight that we put up against. The verbal form is what we do, something that we do. The struggle, the energy we exert, the battle that is waged against sin, to stay the course, and not give up and not give in to the pressures and the stressors of life that can cause us to get off track and live a mediocre life.
You going?
A mediocre Christian life. Some of us strive for the best out there in the world, in our careers, in our other pursuits. But when it comes to following Christ, you know, we're falling a little bit short. And the writer says that the problem is sin. Say what you want. The Bible says that our biggest struggle is with sin. It is with sin. And if I can throw it in on the side here, we're not talking about the big sins. We can miss God's mark in small ways. You don't have to be going out, running around with women and getting high, whatever it is. Those things that we make conjure up in our mind when we think about sin. No, when we're not walking in obedience to the Lord in any way, shape, or fashion, that's sin. I know when we say, well, our biggest struggle is with sin. I mean, he says, that's what he said in the text. He says, you have not resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. He didn't say against the devil. He said against sin. Yeah, we have an enemy. You know, the devil is real. But he appeals to our sin nature. Yours and mine, not just mine. He appeals to our sin nature. Yeah, he tempts us to give in to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, to give in to self. Missing the mark of God by living our way and not God's way. He works hard to bring us down by trying to get us to yield to the things that bring temporary relief. To the problems in life that we face. Yeah, we have that enemy, but I think the writer of Hebrews is making a point here that our striving is against sin. It's against our ourselves. Now I want to quote this life lesson, and there is more that we could say there, but I need to move on. The highest point of development of faith in Jesus Christ is choosing our Savior over self. Choosing the Savior over self. Total submission to Him and His will, His way for us to do life. What does God say as opposed to what I say? How does He want me to handle it as opposed to how I want to handle it? What attitudes that I brought into my walk with Christ that need to be changed and transformed? No, giving over self, giving self up for the Savior. Giving up our life for something or someone is the greatest demonstration of love and faith. If you haven't made it there yet, and the writer says, we haven't. You haven't resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. If we haven't made it there yet, then we can confidently say to ourselves, self, you have room for growth. You have not reached the pinnacle of faith. And you should continue to live by faith in Jesus even more with the expectation that he's going to help you along the journey. I bring back out Galatians 2:20, which we put up last week. I bring it again this week. I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, in this old body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The Savior over self. His way over my way. How are you doing in your battle against sin? Are you missing the mark when it comes to living a life that is pleasing to God? And I think if we were honest with ourselves and look beyond the surface, because we may say, well, I'm doing pretty good. I go to church on Sunday. You know, I put a little bit in the play. You know, ain't treating nobody, ain't running around and all this. But you know, there's more to the Christian life than that. It's Christ in us in every aspect of our lives. And we ain't going to get there to completion really until we go home to be with him. So we always have room for growth. We're always striving for that pinnacle of giving up self to the Savior, Christ in us. We have to continue to strive against sin and keep reaching toward the goal, my brothers and sisters, of choosing Savior over self. We can keep living by faith if we keep that. Lord, I haven't arrived yet. See, I think part of the problem, I'm moving on, some of us think we have arrived. Because we do A, B, and C, we have arrived. But we don't do A, B, and C, we have arrived. But it's Christ, you allowing Christ to transform again how you think, how you see the world of you, Christ in you affecting you in the whole of your life. Well, the second thing I want to begin saying today is this. We can't continue to run the race of life by faith in Jesus when we remember that the Father is dealing with us as his children. I haven't arrived yet. I haven't reached the pinnacle. And that being the case, you know, the Father deals with us as his children, as parents deal with their children. You want to see them to maturity. So you don't just let them fend for themselves and go through life on it. You intervene, you interact, you engage with them, and you do that out of love. Well, the believers here, they had forgotten this very important truth, and that's what the writer of Hebrews says. He says, and you have forgotten. You have forgotten. They needed encouragement to keep pressing on because they had forgotten something. And forgotten here simply means they forgot. No, they had put it out of their minds. They had put it out of their minds. They didn't remember. They had spiritual amnesia. Well, see, an important thing I need to mention, a question is why did they forget? And why do we forget things when it comes to living by faith in Jesus? Because we can. And we do. You know, we have these memory lapses, don't we? I'm a Christian on Sunday when I'm in church, but then we get out there and go, going out the window. Well, the text does not tell us directly, but the Bible informs us that, as even as we connected with verse 4, the Bible informs us that the root cause of forgetting God is sin. Sin causes people, the people of God, to lose memory of him and what he has said. This forgetting is not merely an oversight, as I look at this word in context. It's not merely, an oversight, but it is rather willful neglect. Get that? Willful neglect of God's word because self has risen up and taken control. It is self over Savior instead of Savior over self. And when self is over the Savior, I'm forgetting God. I'm setting him aside. I'm making a willful, intentional decision to say my word. We neglect to listen to God through his word and prayer, so self takes over. The Bible itself says that our sin separates us from God. And what we're saying to God, we say, forget you, God. Now, I know no one in here would say they ever said that to God. But by our actions, we say that. We say, forget you, God. And we live our way instead of his way. Of course, we wouldn't at first thought call our forgetting willful neglect. Nobody in here would do that. But in essence, when we choose sin, we are choosing. And choosing is an act of the will. We are choosing to set aside what God has said and taking to heart what we have in mind to do. Instead, my friends, we must listen to and remember what God has said. What he said in his word. The things that he has taught us and is teaching us. And we must be determined with the help of the Holy Spirit to live in that truth. But we can't do it on our own. Our propensity is to say, forget you, God, by our actions and leave them at the door when we go out into the world. But I had to put this in parenthetically as I was thinking about this and writing out a few thoughts. I said, I'm so glad that God is merciful and God is patient because we can go here often. How often do you and I go here? Also, what needs to be understood is that willful forgetfulness, forgetting, can be the result of focusing on the problems and pressure of life, which takes our eyes off of Jesus. You know, the writer here is telling, he says, fix your eyes on Jesus. He said, look at what Jesus went through. He still kept his eyes on the Father. He's telling him, don't stop focusing so much on the pressure. Stop focusing so much on the problems. Fix your eyes on the Lord and what he has said. Because that takes our eyes off of Jesus. It takes our eyes off of him. See, we see the problems of life as bigger than Jesus, and we forget that we serve a God who is able. We forget God. The problems become more important in our minds and hearts than God. Mm-hmm. We can forget God because we think that he's forgotten us. You ever been there? Well, God has just forgotten me. This is not working out. I got this problem. This pressure is on my life. God has, he's definitely forgotten me. Well, that's a lie from the pit of hell. It's not true.
Amen.
It's never true for the child of God. It is never true for the child of God that God, yes, that God forgets us. It's never true. We can forget God because we think that he's forgotten us. We may feel abandoned. We may think that God has left us alone to deal with the mess all by ourselves,
yes.
But it's not true. Right. And the writer is writing here and says, listen, you've forgotten something. You've forgotten that God never forgets you. And he said, you don't have to forget. You should not forget. You need to make the effort to remember. To remember. And that's why he goes on to tell him what he tells him. And let me say these few things before I close out today. Life lesson. When faced with the problems and pressures of life, we need to remember that God has a tattoo of us, of you. Listen to me now. God has a tattoo of you on the palm of his hand. You think I'm crazy, don't you? Yes, you do. I see it. Well, turn with me to Isaiah 49:14-16. I think I put it in my point for today. Isaiah 49:14-16. This blows me away. Listen. Isaiah 49:14-16. God was talking to his people. And he said this, just like we say. Ain't nothing new under the sun. He says, but Zion said, my people said,
Lord,
the Lord has forsaken me. God has forgotten me. And so I'm going to do life my way. The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. But then, listen, God says this, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? And all the sisters who have children in the house said, no, absolutely not. And then God says, though she may forget, he says, I will not forget you. And then he says this, to drive his point home. He says, see, I have engraved you. Highlight that in you. I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. You know, people have been getting tattoos for centuries. Tattoos ain't nothing new. We see people all tattooed up, don't we? You might have, some of y'all in here probably got a tattoo somewhere.
No, Pastor.
See, the words in Isaiah point to the almost universal practice of tattooing. Had nothing new. And then he went on to say, a man thus engraved, tattooed, the name of his God, or the outlines of his home, or the face of the one he loved, his woman, upon his arms, his hands, or somewhere else. And women did the same thing. And as I said, you may have a tattoo somewhere on your body. Why? Because you wanted to make a statement about something. You wanted to remember something or someone. You wanted your loved one to know that he was forever yours. And see, what God said to Israel,
mm-hmm.
And what the writer of Hebrews wants them and us to forget is that God doesn't forget you. You have forgotten him. He doesn't forget you. God said to Israel, and by way of application to those who have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. That's what that's talking about. Now, we don't think of God accepting the person of Jesus Christ and having hands. He doesn't. The Bible says God is a spirit. But God used a human characteristic to communicate an important truth about himself regarding his relationship with his people. And we see this throughout the Bible. He knew that it would be something they understood and it would capture their attention. I have engraved you on the palm of my hand. They saw all these people walking around with tattoos. God said, I got a tattoo of you on my hand. Listen, I need to run on. Listen, please hear me. Remember, child of God, that you are an indelible mark in the mind and heart of God. Indelible means it cannot be erased. We are indelible marks in the mind and heart of the Lord our God. Not your sin. That's what the devil wants us to think. Not all your mess ups. Because God said, I will remember your sins no more. You repent, I will remember your sins no more. You give your life to Christ, accept him as your Lord and Savior, I will remember your sins no more. Washed by the blood of the Lamb. He says, you're an indelible mark on me. You know, we wear our jewelry, our crosses and whatnot. We put stuff on our cars, identifying, marking ourselves as belonging to God. Well, God has flipped the script. He has marked himself with us. You cannot be removed. He cannot and will not forget those who are living by faith in Jesus Christ. The writer says, you've forgotten that. You got to remember that. When you mess up and feel like giving up, we got to remember that he doesn't forget us. When you feel like you drifted too far away and you can't get back, he doesn't forget. He draws you to himself. When you're telling yourself it's not worth it, you need to remember that God does not forget us. When the enemy tells you to gratify yourself with a temporary high, yeah, you're going through, you might as well.
Yes.
No, just one time is not going to harm you. When you're there, you need to remember that God does not. We need to remember that we are a marked people. God has marked us. He's marked us in the palm of his hand. Yes. Yes. We need to go back to his word to be reminded about the truth of our God and how he deals with us. Won't you bow with me? Won't you bow with me? Oh, loving Father, how great you are. God, we worship you. We thank you, our Father, how you deal with us. Father, I pray that you will help us to be able to sift through all the stuff, the mess in our lives, the sin in our lives, neglecting you, neglecting to remember God, I pray you would help us to sort through all of that, get through all of that, that we might see you. Father, would you help us to remember that you don't forget? Help us to remember that you have marked us in the palm of your hand. Lord, you etched us in your heart. And you cannot forget us. Father, I pray that that truth will just go deep. Go deep in our soul, in our minds. Deep into the stuff that has been built up over the years of our lives and that has kept us from living by faith with the wind of the Holy Spirit at our backs. Father, I pray that you would do a fresh and new work in us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
God, that we may worship you in spirit and truth. Worship you in everything that we do. Live lives that are pleasing to you and keep striving to reach the pinnacle of faith, giving up self for our Savior. Father, help us to trust the way that you're dealing with us. As challenging as it might be at times, Lord, help us to trust you. We thank you, Lord. I want to give you praise. And we together want to give you praise. Because you're so worthy. You're a wonderful, merciful Savior.
Yes. Yes.
And Father, there might be someone who has never taken that first step of faith. Lord, they think of Father and they think of every negative thing that floods through their mind. God, I pray that through the Spirit of God, you would open the minds of their hearts, that they will see you as you reveal yourself through Jesus Christ our Lord, through your word. And may they come to faith in Christ.
Yes.
Father, that they may be the recipients of your love, of your unconditional love. God, I pray that you would help us to be sensitive to those around us as we go into this week. Now, you don't know your love. Those who are hurting, bruised, battered, beat up by life. God, I pray that you would use us to share your love with them. And Lord, we're thankful for those that you send our way to share your love with us. And Lord, may there be some who submit themselves to you, admit their need for a Savior, repent of their sin, of their rejection of you, and accept Christ as Lord and Savior. We thank you, Father, and we're careful to give you praise in Jesus' name. And then there might be someone who needs to take that first step of faith. Maybe you've taken it here now. Take that first step and say, I want to accept Christ as Savior and Lord, Lord and Savior of my life. I'm going to repent of my rejection of Him, and I want to receive Him into my life. And admit that you're a sinner, repent of your rejection of Him, and accept Him as Lord and Savior of our life. I accept Christ's death and resurrection, Father. I accept the fact that He is God's Son, and He died for me, and rose, and I believe in Him. Once you do that today, the Bible says today is a day of salvation. Maybe you're without a church family, and you need to get that right with the Lord and make that step of faith to get connected with the body of Christ. Some people think it's not important. The Bible says that it is. He's made us the body of Christ. Maybe you need to take that step, maybe agape Bible fellowship or some other fellowship your church family. Won't you take that step of faith today? If you do, won't you let me know? Send me an email, tbanks4323@gmail.com. tbanks4323@gmail.com. Send me a note, let me know, let us know how we can pray for you. tbanks4323@gmail.com. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Church, won't you stand with me as we give our benediction? Stand with me. And now, to our great God, to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, henceforth, now, and forevermore. Let's do this right now. Let the Church of Jesus Christ together sing,
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Get it better.
Wrong with my sound. Church, third Sunday, I think it is, we'll be upstairs helping with video. I'll be here.
October 3rd, Sunday, right?
I believe. What's the date?